Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of his word. Come sit with us.
As many of us know all too well, with all of the twists and turns in life, with all of the difficulties, and the decisions that we face each day, life can be rather complicated. At times, can it? And at times, we're at a loss to know what to do. We're at a loss to know how to handle those challenges. But the fundamental message of the Bible, as well as the fundamental message of the passage of Scripture that is before us today in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23 through chapter 11, verse 1, is actually the same message. And it is a message that is not complicated at all. In fact, it is a rather simple message. And that message is this: we are to live to bring honor and glory to the name of God. We're to live to bring honor and glory to the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. We are to recognize that he alone is worthy of our obedience. And if we would just embrace that message, then perhaps our lives would not be so complicated anymore. Might simplify things for us. God has created us for one reason, and that is to bring glory to him. And for some of us, it has taken a long time for us to understand that truth, that fact. That is the purpose, our purpose in life. But like Adam and Eve, as far back as the Garden of Eden, we've all failed to glorify him. And instead, we have chosen to go our own way in disobedience to him. We have brought a stain upon his holy name, which is why we need a Savior, to take the punishment for our sin against him, so that we do not have to bear the weight of the punishment ourselves forever. But now, as those who do belong to Jesus Christ, we might wonder, what does it really mean to glorify him? What does it mean to value him above all else? How does that work out in a practical way? Well, beginning in verse 23 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul explains this to us. He explains how we are to live in our freedom in Christ, while at the same time, how we are to live to glorify his name. And you know, the choice is ours. This is our choice to make. And it's a choice that each of us can make today. And so, to the people in the church, in the city of Corinth, and to us, Paul begins with what was perhaps a common expression among the people in the church in Corinth at that time, and perhaps we even hear that expression today. And so he says this: while it is true that all things are lawful, exousthi in Greek, all things that seem to be right, well, they're possible to do, because even when we are wrong at times, those things are forgiven in Christ. And those things that are not specifically identified in the Scripture, and we believe them to be right. We believe them to be permissible. We have the freedom in Christ to do those things. But perhaps the better question to ask ourselves is this: do those things really glorify Christ? Because the fact is, Paul says, all things, not all things, are profitable. Sumphero in Greek. Not all things are really beneficial to us. Not all things are in our best interests or in the interests of others. And so, they don't glorify the Lord. And that is the real question, isn't it? It's what we do. Does it glorify the Lord? Because though we have been forgiven in Christ, we are told that we are not to use our freedom in Him to satisfy our fleshly desires. Because the consequences of our actions can have a far-reaching effect on us and on those around us and on our brothers and sisters in Christ. Consequences that can bring heartache and bitterness. Consequences that can last for a lifetime. Consequences that can affect our testimony for the Lord and so bring disgrace upon His name. This is certainly something to think about, isn't it? Yes, Paul says, all things are lawful for me. I have freedom. I have freedom in the grace of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. But not all things edify. Oikodomeo in Greek is a word that means to build a house. Not all things are helpful to build up others. Not all things are helpful to build ourselves up in the faith. According to the need of the moment, it says in Ephesians chapter 4, so that those things might give grace and blessing to those who hear us. So that we might sustain and help the weary one with a word, we're told in Isaiah 50 verse 4. Before we do anything, before we say anything, we should ask ourselves if what we are about to do, what we are about to say, is scripturally sound. Is it rooted and grounded in the truth of the Word of God? And then we should ask ourselves if it is profitable for building up others, for building up ourselves in Christ. Will it bring honor and glory to the name of our Lord? And yes, sometimes that does include correction, speaking the truth in love. But in a practical way, how are we to do this? What is to be the principle to guide us? To guide us in our relationships with each other? In verse 24, Paul simply says this: here's how you do it. Let no one seek his own good. That sounds easy. Put others first. Well, maybe it's not quite so easy, is it? Seek the welfare of your neighbor, heteros in Greek. With humility of mind, regard others as more important than yourself. We should keep looking out for the interests of others. Well, that's not quite so popular a perspective today, is it? But as is true with all scripture, there is a balance here. There is a balance that we must maintain. We should seek to live at peace with all men. Right? But their standards, their perspective, should not rule our lives. There's a balance. And in verse 25, Paul uses food to illustrate his point. And so he says, eat anything that is sold in the meat market without asking any questions. Anakreno in Greek. Don't investigate the origin of that meat, whether it has been sacrificed to an idol or not. Don't ask for conscience sake, for the sake of your own conscience. Sunaitis is in Greek. For the sake of your own awareness. This is information that you do not need to know. So go ahead and buy that meat. Because, it says in Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's, and all that it contains. Everything belongs to God. Everything originates with Him. Everything has been created by Him. All that He has created fills the earth, and so the food that He has created should be received with gratitude, it says in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Here's the balance. Verse 27. If one of the unbelievers that you know invites you to his home for dinner and you wish to go, then handle that situation the same way that you did at the meat market. The principle is the same. Eat anything that is set before you without asking any questions. Do not conduct an investigation or an interrogation while you are sitting at the dinner table for conscience sake. If you have a clear conscience, well, then eat. For it is for freedom that Christ has set us free, we're told in Galatians 5:1. So, pass the gravy. But, Paul adds in verse 28, if anyone at the table, well, perhaps another believer, a believer who is weak in the faith, should say to you, did you know that this meat has been sacrificed to idols? What are you to do? Paul says, do not eat that meat. Be willing to give up your freedom in Christ so that your weaker brother is not offended by what you do, by your actions. Have a salad instead. Why? Paul says, for the sake of the one who has informed you about that meat. And for conscience sake, I mean, Paul says, he clarifies in verse 29, not for your own conscience, because you have a clear conscience, but he says, for the sake of the other man's conscience. Given the choice, given the opportunity, it is more important to be gracious to your weaker brother, and if necessary, to offend the unbeliever than to offend the believer. Stand together with that weaker brother or that weaker sister in Christ. That will truly glorify God. But you may ask, verse 29, why should my freedom in Christ be judged? Kreno in Greek. Why should my freedom be condemned by anyone because of another's weak conscience? If I partake of that food with thankfulness, then why am I slandered concerning that for which I've given thanks? That's a good question, isn't it? Well, here's why, Paul says. It's better to give thanks for it and then not eat it, because we should not allow our freedom in Christ to be slandered. Slandered by who? Slandered by those around us, because we choose to eat that which offends a brother or a sister in Christ and causes them to stumble. That doesn't glorify the Lord. And everyone around us will see that. So what's the bottom line here? What is the guiding principle that should determine our behavior? It is this, Paul tells us in verse 31. Whether you're at the meat market, or you are with a group of people at dinner, or you're in your own home, wherever you are, whether you eat, or whether you drink, whatever you do, even in the simple things, even in things that perhaps seem somewhat insignificant, Paul says here is the principle. Do all to the glory of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's to be our motivation. That is to be our goal in life, to live for His glory, to live in such a way that as much as lies within us, within our power, we give no offense, Paul says, aproskopos in Greek. We give no reason for blame, either to the Jews or to the Greeks, or he says to the church of God, to the unsaved and to the saved, that because of us, because of our behavior, they reject Christ or they fall away from him. Just as I also seek to do, Paul says in verse 33. I seek to please all men in all things while remaining committed to the truth and to the glory of God, not seeking my own profit, sumpheros, not seeking my own benefit. But he says, I seek the profit. I seek the benefit of the many, of the others. That is my passion, he tells us. That they might be saved from the wrath to come. So Paul concludes in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and he says this, be imitators of me. Follow my example, just as I follow the example of Christ, who set aside his rights. He set aside his privileges as God, and he humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death, even the shameful death on a cross, to pay for our sins, that he might save our souls. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.